Hopefully this won't be quite as confusing, but it is oyster grind, so it probably will be.
Good morning, Mr. Patrick.
Good morning.
Thomas James is requesting authorization to lease 125 acres of oyster planting ground in the Chesapeake Bay south of Smith Beach in Northampton County. The project is protested by the adjacent property owners. Just a map showing the location of the project with the arrow on the Chesapeake Bay. It's about 3 miles west of the town of Eastville. And it is just south of Smith Beach, which is a beachfront community, and the Gulf in this area here. As you can see, there's a 2 mile long sandbar offshore, which creates a navigational issue going in and out of the Gulf and the beach community of Smith Beach. Right now, when you come down from the bay, you've got to come quite a ways south and then come back up through in order to get to the Gulf and Smith Beach. This has been moving and accreting south. In 2013, the aerials, you could cut across here. Now you've got to come down almost to Mr. Tankert's property where there is a pound net in this general area here and bump across the sandbar getting in and out of the area. As you can see, there's a lot of clam agriculture and oyster agriculture in this area, the Gulf. It's about a mile south of that activity. And the small channel going in and out of here. In the general area where the application is 8 to 10 feet in depth at mean low water. And as you can tell, it's mostly sand in this whole area through here. The applicant proposes a lease from mean low water on the shoreline, across the channel, and including portions of the outer sandbar. It's 125 acres in green. There are two leases that he would have joined. And there is also an SAV area right here. Now, this SAV was in 2012 and 2013. It's not shown up since 13. I did look at the newer 2017 aerials. There appears to be something in that area, but VIMS, I did not contact VIMS on it. They haven't ground truth that or even completed their survey of those photos yet. Mr. James has one lease just north of the Gulf, a little less than 5 acres, and he has another one in the Hungers Creek area for a total of 8.45 acres. He has 8 applications for a little more than 176 acres on the bayside of Northampton County, and the applicant intends to use the ground to grow aquacultured clams, which require placing nets over planted or nets over his clams. This is my rendition, and I guess that's pink, where Mr. James's application is. This would be Mr. Turner's lease in this area here. We did receive an application from Mr. James. This was back in September of 15. In response to our public interest review, we did receive 3 protest letters. Their concerns include potential conflicts associated with accessing their beachfront property by boat, swimming in the waters adjacent to the beach, and navigation into the Smith Beach beachfront community and into the Gulf. The protesters or their families are here and here. Just some ground shots. We're looking north. Smith Beach would be in the far distance. This would be the beginning of the lease at approximate low water mark, coming up about 1,000 feet and then tying around the Turner lease and then going offshore to the bars. A little closer view, again, 1,000 feet, then offshore. I'll leave this up, and here's our recommendation. Mr. James requires areas that are in shallow water to grow his aquaculture clams. The area within his application that is in the channel would be too deep for his use and may impede navigation into the Smith Beach and the Gulf area. Based on his use requirements and beach access, staff cannot support leasing the channel. Since the applicant requires shallow water, a part of his application is in conflict with the riparian owner's ability to use the water adjacent to their beachfront property to swim and boat. Staff believes that certain areas along the Chesapeake Bay where there are beaches and people swim should not be leased. Staff therefore cannot support leasing the area near the beach, and we have stated that fact in the past in other applications and property owners along this beachfront area. This has been our standard policy since I went back and looked at these letters, 2004, trying to give the beachfront people areas to swim. Staff could, however, support leasing the area near and on the offshore bar that does not support SAV and does not impact navigation into Smith Island, or excuse me, Smith Beach in the Gulf. Therefore, staff recommends approval of a portion of the application minus the small SAV area that is right up in here. It's bounded on the east by the channel, south by vacant bottom, west by vacant bottom, and north by the Nottingham lease. The drawing that's in your packet is a little off compared to what you see here. It did include the SAV area here, and it also included this portion of the sandbar right here. People, when they come out, are now forced to go all the way down into this area to get across the sandbar in general. Others will try to cut across here on high tide, and this portion down at the lower end anyway is shifting sand. There may be some decent grind somewhere up in here. It's questionable. And I'll be here to answer any questions.
Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Tack.
Mr. Badger, you know, one of the questions I have for you here, of the leases we see on the Eastern Shore, maybe Western Shore, I can't think of one that's more dynamic as far as its energy goes. I mean, a Northwester hits here from Baltimore and changes the way that place looks at every northwest wind we have.
As you well know, normally this area through here is a clay escarpment.
Yes.
And here recently it's got sand that's built up in front of it, which makes it look a lot prettier than it really is. And also, this is the plane navigational device.
Vortex.
Vortex or Omni or whatever. That's where it was. They had to pull it back. These homes that are right in, now these are, now it's down here a little bit far. Let me back up. These cottages that are here were out here. They've been moved at least once, if not twice, and as you well know, the Tanker Cottage has been moved back at least once before it was taken down. So, yeah, it's a very volatile area there.
So, my question is, have we seen anything that's more dynamic than this in your memory?
You mean for applications?
For energy, wave energy.
It's pretty dynamic. You know, the whole Chesapeake Bay, you do have this one bar offshore that will break something up, but it's still on a high tide. It's come right across. It's probably going to tear the nets up. You can see there's not a lot of room in here between the low water mark and the channel anyway. And it drops off relatively quick. I would suspect you're in waist-deep water by the time you get 40, 50 feet offshore from low water.
Mr. Ballard.
I know particularly the area to the north and the area to the south is very popular. Beach recreation, swimmers, they call it sandbar Sundays in a lot of places. Does that occur in this area, or is this kind of more remote with fewer houses?
It's fewer houses. I think the majority of the people that go to the sandbars are up in this area here.
Okay.
But it is, you wouldn't be able to really sit on a bar out here.
Okay.
Except at low tide.
Mr. Zedrin.
I got a couple questions. One, so the idea is that he's going to have these clams and then nets over them?
That's correct.
And you said that if on high tide and you got rough water, it's probably going to knock those nets off the shelled area?
It's a volatile area, so it's got more potential down there to the nets not standing up to the wave action.
How big are these nets?
Well, they're 60 by 12, something in that neighborhood. They're all a little bit different depending on the areas.
And if it does that, where do the nets go? Into the channel?
If they don't keep up with them, yes. They get lost.
Well, they would get hung up in the boat traffic and stuff like that too, right?
Potentially. I've not seen much of boats having issues with nets. I've seen more issues with nets getting into the sand and then being sanded over, and then you can't remove them. It makes it more difficult. Now, Mr. Ballard and a few others have been involved with trying to get these nets out, even if they're not their nets. When they get lost, they just go out and they'll send their crews out and pick up everybody's nets.
Mr. Ballard.
I'll just add for the record, they're 60 by 12 nets. They're typically anchored down with gravel bags or pieces of rebar that are extremely heavy. So in areas like this, you can have nets break loose. It is very rare. There are, I would say, in the upper thousands, double-digit thousands of these across the Eastern Shore. If you fly over, you'll see them. So it is very, very common, and there are very low instances of nets being blown away, landed, and there is a community of people on the Eastern Shore that go to clean them up if that occurs. I do have concerns with this lease. The placement of nets there isn't really one of them.
And the nets aren't cheap, and it's not in the applicant's best interest to place them in a way and manner that he could lose them. Mr. Tankard had his hand up.
I don't know. I get a chance to. I'm on the water a lot. I don't think there's a beach you can go to on the Eastern Shore that doesn't have net somewhere on it right now. I know there's net on that beach right now. I was on Smith Island 2 weeks ago, and there's net everywhere. Net moves. I don't think we can really say it doesn't. I mean, like I say, I don't think you can go to a beach on the Eastern Shore and not see net. I hate to say that, but that's a matter of fact.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Badger. Please don't go far. Mr. James? As the applicant here, let me swear you in. Raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
No, I'll not swear to a God that I don't believe in.
Well, would you at least attest to tell
yes,
the truth?
I would.
There we go. Thank you, sir. Please state your name for the record.
Thomas Hezekiah James III.
Thank you, sir.
Let me first state I need to address a few things for the commission. Mr. Ballard, being proprietor of Church Street Aqua Farms and one of the largest leaseholder and clam producers on the shore, you know, listening to your arguments and your discussion, you know, your insight, input on this commission has been invaluable. However, as my application falls directly in competition with your business interests, I request that if you find that you're not able to support my application, that you recuse yourself from voting and abstain. Ms. Lusk, Vice President of H.M. Terry Company, also one of the leaseholders and producers of clams on the Eastern Shore, you know, appreciate your appointment to the commission. We prove as invaluable as Mr. Ballard, but I also have to ask that if you can't support my application, that you abstain. Mr. Tankard, proprietor of Tankard's Nurseries, been to many commission meetings and heard your service and insight even today. However, I'm aware that you've recently put in an application for 250 acres of oyster planting ground on the seaside. I can only assume that you're looking to get into the aquaculture business. This coupled with the fact that you're close friends and proprietors of J.C. Walker Brothers, also one of the largest clam producers on the Eastern Shore, feel my application falls in direct competition with these business interests, and also ask that if you can't support it, you abstain. And Mr. Zierdman, I noticed in your bio that you're a charter boat captain. As this application being protested in part because it encompasses navigable waterway, feel that your perspective may be swayed. Given such, I request that if you find you're not able to support my application, you recuse yourself from voting and abstain. I started this process just under 2 years ago, back in September, as Mr. Badger said, applied for the aforementioned 125 acres that resides on the bay side of the Eastern Shore, just south of Smith Beach. Done several site visits. There to be two potential areas for use, the offshore bar and along the shoreline. As this is a dynamic area, it's difficult to say which, if any, would be best suited for growing out clams. I would like to address the staff's concerns that lead to the decision to not supporting the shoreline or the channel. I received an email stating such back on June 21st. Let's start with the reasoning for excluding the channel. By the Commission's own regulation for VAC 20355 requirements and conditions, item G, no structure may cause more than a minimal adverse effect on navigation. I don't see how putting clams anywhere on there will create that. Regardless of whether or not I plan on using the channel or not, it was a connector between the shoreline and the offshore. If I may, I'd like to show you, let's see here which one of these pop up. How can I?
We will have to retain that.
What, that flashbot?
Yeah, flashbot.
Okay.
It would be evidence to support your testimony. We'd need under the law to keep any supporting evidence.
Okay, well, I mean, I can download everything you got on there.
Okay.
But how do I minimize?
Mr. Batcher, would you help him get to the flash drive? Reopen the window.
Pull up the BMRC's website.
Yep.
Do you have that shortcut to that?
Mm-hmm. How do you go in? I don't work out of this office. Chip, you may have to sign in.
Are you trying to?
trying to get into our website.
Trying to get to the actual website?
Yeah.
Just our web page, not the PowerPoint. Okay.
This is the application I'm looking for across the channel. Coming up into the Gulf. I'm going to point out some other. Here's an application, or one that was done back in 2014 from Edward Kellum. Here is the main channel coming into the Gulf, and this application is cutting right through it, as well as the other ones, but this is a more recent application. It was actually signed in 2015. Got this application from this ground from Elizabeth Dodd, signed 2016, taking up the whole Gulf. They own this property, but they don't own that, but they're pretty much getting the entire cut right there. Here's a big one, Mattawoman Creek. There's the channel cutting through there. This is a lease by Mr. Ballard. There's dozens more where channels have been leased across, or that they're actually going to be used. There's other ones that staff's not going to recommend mine. Is he going to recommend, these? Ben Mears, that's 250-some acres, or 205 acres. Another one, Mr. Ballard, between these two, they're blocking off, use the whole entrance into Cherrystone and Kings Creek. I mean, this one as well. All of these have deep water and navigable water. This is part of a channel. This is a sandbar that people go out and do recreation on, right off of Hoffler's Point Farm. Mr. Tankard's section out here. I don't know how navigable the water is, but I'm sure, it's got to be some water over top of it. I don't know what the staff is. Why the staff is wanting to not lease across channels. There's plenty of them out there, even in recent history, that have been done. This is why it's acceptable for these to contain channel, but not for mine. If you allow these, then you should allow mine. Otherwise, if it's your position to limit my application for this, then I would expect that you would limit all leases, past and future, in a similar fashion. Review all current leases and go about reserving them to bring them in line with the new standard. As far as access to people's property inside. Okay, thank you, sir. These are just the same ones that I had gone through, but as far as access in and out of Smith Beach, I won't be blocking access in and out of Smith Beach just because I'm leasing across the channel, because there's plenty of channels being leased every creek on the shore. This is entire Cherrystone Creek, Kings Creek. It's all leased. People are using around the edges, but that doesn't prevent the leaseholder from leasing it. I was just trying to keep from cutting between the two. And I think that should clarify, some of the protests by some of the individuals. As far as the shoreline portion of the application, it's adjacent to farmland that has no residential structures or other structures owned by the Highland owner. Its beachfront could be deemed seasonally used at best. Furthermore, any aquaculture activities would not limit these seasonal activities to the beachfront. As structures are bottom plots and extend only minimally above the bay floor, it would not create even a minimal adverse effect on navigations. The structures do not preclude or prevent an individual from walking in the shallow waters at low tide or swimming at mid at high tide. The structures may, in fact, stabilize some of the shifting sand and lessen the erosion of the shoreline. It is also likely that with this stabilization process, SAV will begin to take hold, and other marine life, primarily oysters, which I've seen, will strike on the exposed portions of the bags, this adding to the biodiversity of the area. The bottom plots should be of no more concern to the Highland owner than the adjacent piles of jagged rocks that were in the shallow waters that were from the old Vortec station. And then, you know, actually, in fact, one of the protestants, Sturgis, you know, this is ground that they're leasing, right adjacent to somebody else's property. So you were talking about, you know, piers, and, you know, this person doesn't want, you know, their neighbor to have a pier. Well, this clam grower doesn't want me to have ground for my clams. So I'm just trying to eke out a living doing clams, and the only thing that's left are, you know, a little sliver here, a little sliver there.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Ballard.
You've come before us a couple times, I think, right?
Yes, sir.
And I think we've always had trouble finding ground for you, right? So it's been a long process is what I'm trying to get at, that mm-hmm. you have been searching left and right and clearly done some homework trying to find suitable spaces.
Right. And this may not be suitable space, but you don't know until you go out there. You might have a beautiful piece of ground. Friends of mine have put clams out on the seaside, and you know, they grow up to the size of a nickel, and then they just shut down because there's not enough food. You just can't tell. With respect to the nets, most nets that you'll find up on the beach are from beds that people have already dug, and they've left the nets out there in hopes of coming back to get them and then get caught in a storm, and then what few bags that they have bagging them down, you know, pull them away, assuming that they had intended to come back and get them. That's why you do find nets on most every beach up and down the shore.
Mr. Tanker.
Thomas, I appreciate, Mr. James, I appreciate your desire to find ground, don't get me wrong. I'm surprised that you, being in this racket for as long as you have been, would even entertain that spot. I mean, you know
it's,
as well
it's desperation.
As... Desperation.
I mean, that's what it is. I mean, the piece of ground, let's see, is the other one still open? Where did we go? Where I'm currently residing, and this is a very old photograph, 2013, is here. When I first started clamming on this ground down here of the Kellums, you used to be able to go up to Hunger's Creek by boat at low tide. You can't do it at high tide now. The sandbar, this is not a good representation of the sandbar. The sandbar has come in this far.
Yeah, I was just there.
I applied for this ground, but SAV has gone crazy. You know, I mean, it's feet thick in areas. You know, other places that I've applied, there's no water at low tide. So, like I said, you know, when this got reacquired by Ms. Lusk's family, then, you know, and I was asked to move off, you know, I had picked up this one. Because Vims, somebody had willed it to Vims, and they were able to finally give it up, and I happened to be at the right place at the right time just to pick that up. Otherwise, I'd be without any ground right now if they couldn't get rid of that. You know, this is only a little 300-foot strip. Right now, I can put maybe 6 million clams on there.
Are there other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. James. Mr. Ballard, is there anything you need to add? Is there anything you need to add at this point here for the commission's clarification before I throw it out for public comment?
I don't believe so, except that the portion about the channels, when we get a protest, we start evaluating the channels. We can lease anywhere that's not a marked channel by the Coast Guard marked channel. We can lease that. Doesn't mean we have to, but we can. If we start looking at a place that's busy, and we get a protest, which is what we do have, we evaluate it a little closer. Okay. But we could lease it. I mean, y'all could lease the channel. It's up to you.
This is a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard in favor of this application? Is there anybody who wishes to be heard in opposition to this application? Please come forward. I need to swear you in, so please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Claudia Bagwell. My daughter, Anna Berger, and I own the parcel that was labeled Berger on the map that you had up there. And my brother is C.A. Turner III, and he owns the Turner Park. This property's been in our family for a long time. Wilkins Beach Hotel used to be there. Swam there as a child. My Sunday school went there. I learned to swim in from Smith Beach. My family still uses it. People from Smith Beach come down and swim on it. So I disagree with the general concept that it's not used for swimming. It is used for swimming by a lot of people. As I wrote in my protest letter in September of 2016, there is a channel in the middle of this lease area, and many boats use this channel, and I do believe that commercial shellfish activities, whether they be corn bags or oyster cages, would present a significant hazard to navigation. My husband and I are boaters, and I know a little bit about things that bother you in the water, and these things are in the way, really. And it also it makes it difficult for sailboats, which have to tack back and forth. And this impacts not only my family, but especially the people of Smith Beach. Mr. James mentioned that there are no houses. There is a house. My brother's house is on this farm, and my daughter and I hope to be able to build a beach house there. And so there are houses there. There are people that use it. It has more use than I think he was saying. And even if it's just clams at this point, that's not to say that it couldn't eventually be cages, which are even more impactful. You know, I have a 3-year-old grandson and a 8-month-old grandson, and I want them to use the beach. People don't just wade in shallow water. They want to be able to swim. You got a bunch of rebar or bags or anything else, it impacts that. So I would ask you to weigh the importance of safety and navigation. And the VMRC has a history of respecting this channel, and I ask you to continue to follow that wisdom, and I ask that this application be denied.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Zedrin.
Did you see the recommendation of the staff where it did not lease the channel and went back?
I did see that.
What's your position on that?
Well, I don't like to give up my, you know, I'm against it, but it's better than having it on the shoreline.
Would you say it would be a reasonable compromise?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anybody else in the audience who'd like to testify in opposition? Please come forward, man. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Amy Sturgis Darby.
Welcome.
Thank you. As other people have stated, as Ms. Bagwell just stated, I agree. I'm also a landowner there. Family that has had that land for 4 generations. Pictures of my grandchildren playing on the beach. She has says she's got grandchildren. Same thing. I grew up there swimming, skiing. I learned to water ski in those actual waters right there. Boats going back and forth. We have built steps down that are anchored, been there, have withstood a couple of winters now. You never know in that area. We have no land, no property, houses built there because of the Vortex Center. The government has so many requirements, we cannot put any physical structure right there. Years ago, my grandfather did have some buildings there, and it never went through because of all the regulations, never did build it up like they did Smith Beach. Same thing, my brother also, he can't be here today because he is farming, but he also is in the agriculture business. And I think if he felt like the grounds were suitable there, he'd be putting some there. My daughter has also sent a letter. I have another one from her today. She couldn't be here as she is also working. She still is against it. All the things they've said, the narrow channel, the rocks, impedes our access to get to the beach by water. We've enjoyed it for many years. I want to continue. We take friends there. Our friends visit us there. People walk up and down. You know, the bags are there. I enjoy the land. I mean, it's what I have. In fact, I live in Accomack County, 15 minutes away from Aztec Island, and you'll not catch me there. I drive an hour to come to this beach because it means that much to me and my family to get out there and enjoy the area. As I said, I grew up there. Everything I learned how to swim there, ski, boat, the whole deal. I request that you deny this. Nothing against Mr. James. I know he wants to make a living too, but, you know, I want to enjoy my beach.
Any questions from the commission, Mr. Zedron?
Same question I had for the last lady. You saw the staff recommendation where it did not lease the channel?
Yes, I did.
And gave the property owners some reasonable use of their beach?
Yes.
Would you say that's a reasonable compromise?
It's a compromise. Again, I'm not sure how feasible it is out there for him either, but I don't want it on the shoreline, on my shoreline, where my beach, you know, the kids are little, they're young, so they're in the shoreline, and especially at low tide when it goes out, you're out further. So, you know, they would be on top of the clam beds. And
well, the staff recommendation.
Right, that's fine, yeah. So that's it. I agree that that's a compromise.
All right, good, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to testify in opposition to this application? Mr. James, you got a moment here to rebut or to sum up, or are you fine? Okay. Last call. Is there anybody who wishes to be heard on this subject in any way? Seeing no one, the public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Let's first take care of some housekeeping. Those members of the board here who have business interests in the oyster or clam aquaculture industry really are in better position here if they just declare their interests. This is the advice of counsel. Ms. Block can explain a little bit better.
So if you own more than 3% interest in a business or receive annual compensation from a business in excess of $5,000, but you have that personal interest in what Mr. James intends to use this for, which I believe is clams, and you are a member of a business profession or group of three or more that potentially would be affected by this transaction, you have to, or you should declare the transaction involved, the nature of your personal interest, what business you own, what business you receive compensation from, that you are a member of a business profession, occupation, or group where the members are affected, and state that you are able to participate fairly, objectively, and in the public interest. Then, once you make that declaration, you can participate in the transaction. If, I believe, Mr. Zedron, Mr. James just talked about the navigational interest, if you are just a member of the public who is affected because you are a member of the public and not specifically because of the business interest, you don't have to declare and you don't have to recuse yourself. So I wrote down the four factors for the declaration. If anyone feels the need that to make this declaration.
Mr. Ballard.
I own a majority of the shares of Ballard Fish and Oyster Company, doing business as Cherryston Aqua Farms and Chincoteague Shellfish Farms in the clam and oyster aquaculture business. I feel I can participate fairly and objectively. I believe my voting record would show that I am often more helping my competition than ever hurting them.
Mrs. Lutz.
I'm an officer in H.M. Terry Company, which is a clam and aquaculture, an oyster aquaculture business on the Eastern Shore. I, too, believe that I can participate in this discussion fairly and objectively.
Mr. Tankard?
I would just say I have no businesses at this time related to the clam or aquaculture industry.
I believe that, Mr. Zedner?
Since my name was raised, I'm a recreational charter boat captain. I do have the United States Coast Guard license, six-pack license, but if I took the position that I couldn't fairly participate and rule on navigation issues, I probably shouldn't even be on this board because that's most of what we do. I have no my interest is I have no business interest in this. I have no business in any kind of oysters or clams or anything like that, and so I think I can fairly participate in this discussion.
I think the declarations have all been made here. So you've heard the testimony. The public hearing is closed. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action. And let's have a discussion and take some action. Mr. Tankard.
Well, I would just say I'm familiar, as Ms. Darby is, with this area. I grew up. I learned to swim here. I learned to sail here. I've even surfed on waves right there with the swell that can break on that bar. Kind of amazingly enough, if you catch it just right, you can do that. It is a dynamic area. It is used by the public. I spent the last two, Saturday and Sunday, paddleboarding to Hungers Creek, or as far as you could get in that body of water towards Hungers, which you can no longer do. And there were, every time I was there, there were people using that body of water for recreational purposes, boating, swimming, kayaking, paddleboarding, you name it. And so it's an area that is used, and what's interesting about it is that when there's more use in low tide, because people go out to the sandbars, they become restricted to that area with their boats because of the sandbar won't allow you out into the bay, and then you're protected. It becomes a protected little zone, a cove almost. So it's a desirable place to recreate. It was known as, and for me and mine, Ms. Darby's probably in that memory, we called it Wilkins Beach because it was where the Wilkins Beach Hotel was, which was known for swimming. That was what they advertised, and at the turn of the century, beautiful water, beautiful swimming. It's probably one of the best places to swim on the Eastern Shore of Virginia because there's good ocean water that runs in there. You can see the bottom. There are no sea nettles. So I would say that this has been a known recreational area for as long as there's been people swimming on the Eastern Shore of Virginia. So I was surprised that anyone would put a application for this bottom here, given the recreational use. And then I'm surprised that anyone would put an application in for the offshore piece of it as well. And I want to speak to that. Mr. James testified that it was sort of his desperation that made him pursue the application there, and what Mr. Badger testified as well was a extremely, or probably the most dynamic area that we've seen in our deliberations of bottomland in the state of Virginia. And so I think there's one thing that we haven't talked about is when it becomes not successful, which is what I would predict, what will be left over and who will pay the price for the leftovers. And the leftovers, as was also testified, will come in the form of gravel bags, rebar, and net. And I would suggest that the Turners, the Burgers, and the Sturgises will pay that price. And I have a hard time making them pay that price. And so I won't vote for this application, even the compromise, so-called compromise.
Mr. Fowler.
I can agree with a lot of what Mr. Tankard said and share that I don't know that specific portion of the beach, but definitely to the north and definitely to the south, that entire sandbar, both the inshore side as well as the offshore side, are used. Families pull their boats up to the inshore side. Kids run around on the sandbar and then make their way to the offshore side, where waves are breaking and there's good, clean ocean water there. On any given Saturday, Sunday, and during the summer, really all week, you can find people along that sandbar, which really stretches almost from Cape Charles up to Matawan and Hungers. It's a huge natural kind of phenomenon. So it is very commonly recreation used. I do believe it has a culture on the eastern shore of people going to these areas. I have tried growing clams on the sandbar further to the south. It has uses. It can be done successfully. It is very, very difficult. And I don't know if that area to the further south is dynamic as this. I think that area to the south is a much bigger, more established sandbar. But it is difficult, and it is really, I've found at least, only doable for small portions of the aquaculture business, seed clams that are out there for 2 or 3 months. I think we have never once contemplated leaving clams for longer than a few months in that area because it would just be a good way to go bankrupt. The lease that was brought up that I am applying for further to the south on a similar geographic feature, I am actually applying for it out of fear because someone tried to take it up before us, and my fear was that it will be lost for use of recreation. So I concur with Mr. Tankard's thoughts that this is just a recreational area. But I do feel for Mr. James, and I think we need to find some place for him and encourage him to keep working.
Other discussion from the commission? Well, my sense, I'll just throw my 2 cents in. My sense is that, I would like to see Mr. James find some suitable ground here to expand his aquaculture operation. I don't think this is the right place. And I would not vote in favor of this. I think there's too much recreation going on there. It's too close to the Smith Beach. That sandbar there is going to be a very difficult place to use it, and the ramifications, if it doesn't work, are pretty substantial for the folks that use that area. So that's my thought. Mrs. Lusk.
I'd like to say that I also feel for Mr. James. Finding suitable clam and oyster ground on the eastern shore is a challenge, and as an industry member, I've spoken out and made efforts to try to open up, many industry members have spoken up and made efforts to try to open up more ground, so far unsuccessfully. But I still think we have to be careful about the ground that is leased. This one in particular seems to be inappropriate at the time due to the recreational use.
Any other discussion? Well, the commission operates on motions. So if somebody has a motion, let's hear it. I'll note the chair cannot make a motion. Mr. Tanker?
Yes. Well, I, Mr. James and I are friends. I hate voting against him. I've actually skied with Mr. James in this exact area here on his boat ages ago. And I do, Eastern Shore, as I've stated in our last commission place, is a tough place to make a living, like a lot of rural Virginia. And, you know, but this area is ripe for user conflict. And I think user conflict is dangerous for not only the public, but for the industry in a long-term fashion. So I make a motion not to approve this application in total.
Can I ask for clarification? That's motion deny?
Deny. Excuse me. I lost my vocabulary. Deny.
Motion by Mr. Tankard to deny the application. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Neal. Is there any discussion on the motion? I'll call the question. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Any abstentions? Abstention by Mr. Ballard. So the application is denied on a vote of 7-1 with one abstention.